I confess you're my wife. I confess you're my wife. I confess.
She's going to carry the phone and phone all my friends. I say, Chooks, Topsy, I don't know what's going on. Oh, Pastor Annie, please, can you come over immediately?
I mean, it is settled in my heart.
You get what I'm saying?
It's only occasionally, you know, it's my children. You know, when we are talking, we play that kind of play a lot in my house. Like my daughter came the other day. He said, where's your wife, husband?
There was something that led to it. I mean, the girl is 4 years old, all right? She turned four, like about 2 weeks ago. So one day she was just saying that, he said, that daddy is mommy's wife. And I said, no, daddy cannot be a wife. Daddy is a husband. So I gave her the coaching on male and female roles in husband-wife relationship and everything. So, okay, she heard it. So next day she came. Say, where's your wife? Husband. Now, it's under some circumstances that the issue of whose wife and whose wife she is starts coming up. Do you get my point? The issue of she's my wife only comes up once in a while to establish certain points. So when maybe I go somewhere, and I, okay, have you met my wife? You know, so I tell her, okay, that's my wife. Like I went to preach somewhere last Sunday. So I introduced her. She went with me. Okay, that's my wife. Hey, you get my point? Why? Because I'm persuaded. I don't stand in front of her in the morning. Hallelujah. You're my wife. It's not necessary. Now, listen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we shouldn't confess. Do you follow my point? I'm not going to bring out an issue. Those are not the things that engineer faith. Confessions don't come before faith. Faith comes before true confession. Are you getting my point? Yes. You hear Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He didn't used to speak that to the air. He used to say to answer questions when they will come up. I am the bread that came down from heaven. He's talking with people and is speaking out of what he's persuaded concerning. That's what I'm saying. Some of those exercises we try to use concerning what we call in building our faith, that's not what the Bible calls building faith. No. No. Listen, I'm not saying they are totally bad or wrong. Do you follow my point? If you need it to calm your soul, I think you should use it. Do you get my point? Yes. If you need it to calm your soul, you use it. I mean, maybe there are times maybe I want to travel or stuff like that, and I'm not just feeling very comfortable and all of that. So, you know, you pause and remind yourself of some things that you believe, and you speak some words, and then you begin to drive. Are you following my point? But I'm saying that when the man just wakes up in the morning, thinks that I have to make 200 confessions in the morning to show that I have faith. You don't have it yet. And like I said, that's spiritualism. It's not spirituality. You don't need it. What you need, that's what we're talking about. Last time we spoke about Ruth. Ruth was carried. Now listen to that. She was captured totally by her concern for her mother-in-law. And that was how she discovered her God and her people. I'm not going to go over that again. We discussed that last time. And I said that there must be Naomis in your life. And those are the people or things, all right, that guide you into the center of faith. That's just how God does it. Because really, you can't have faith by yourself. God ministers faith. And it was God that ministered faith to Ruth. Because first of all, Ruth had compassion for her mother-in-law. Are you getting my point? Ruth had compassion for her mother-in-law. She was concerned so seriously. But look, if I leave this woman, what is going to become of her? The woman said, if you follow me, what will become of you? But she said, no. Madam, let's forget that one first. That's why, look, listen. If you wake up in the morning, all you whine about is bad road, bad people, bad police force, bad PHCN, that's NEPA, bad water. You whine every day. You don't have any Naomi. What do I mean by Naomi? Let me give you as an example personally. That's banking now. I have a Naomi. I have to be here teaching the word of God, and that word must get up from here and go somewhere. Do you get my point? So you see that, yes, There are challenges, most certainly. But because something is gripping my soul, do you follow my point? There's something that I'm focusing on. Alright? Starving is inside my heart for that reason. Yes, the road may be bad. But this is what happens. One, because in my heart I am settled. Do you get my point? Look, let me just quickly add this onto it. So all those difficulties of life, they are the most temporal things that God created. Even your shirt will outlast difficulty. You hear what I said? No, difficulties of life, they are the most temporal things. They are the things that are guaranteed not to last. Let me quickly explain, just by the way, before I get back to that. When I entered university those days, I remember. People say, you'll be here for 6 years. You'll be here for 6 years. You'll be here for 6 years. And truly, if you remember each day, you wake up in the morning, you work hard. You go work out from one end of campus to another end, read, do the... It's hardship, actually. I mean, you don't sleep just because you want to sleep. You sleep because you are tired. You don't wake up because you have finished sleeping. You wake up because it's time to wake up and go somewhere. This is the interesting part. When I look back, those years pass so fast, I can't remember them. Are you getting my point? They pass so fast, I can't recollect. It's hard. What just happens, I step into another realm of challenges of life. There's no easy life. Oh. There's no point in which life is just, now we don't arrive. Everything just is smooth. Now, like, I keep on telling you, even in America, that most Nigerians want to die to go to. Barack Obama or whoever was campaigning to be president had to campaign using the problems in the society. Do you follow my point? Nobody said, listen, this country is so perfect, they need a perfect president. Have you ever heard that before? This country is so arranged, you need a well-arranged president. No, they will get up and say, our healthcare is a mess. We are the biggest, most powerful nation on the earth, yet 15 million Americans don't have health insurance. How come if somebody falls sick, he goes bankrupt? And these are real issues. All you needed to do was watch CNN. These were real issues. Are you getting my point? And that's the way life is. No, there's no point. As even God, He came to this earth to solve problems. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Then he began to put order into it. You get the point I'm making? Look, that's how life is. So, we finish that level of challenges, we step into another one. I remember when we were doing our swearing in. One of my closest friends, he sat beside me that day, put a hand around my shoulders. He said, Banky, we've done it. I said, yeah, man. He said, now, we don't have to read again. I said, yeah. I'm taking no exam anymore. I said, yes. The following month, he has started reading for primaries. I mean, that was the end of it. After that, labor started again. You finish passing primaries, you start reading for part one. You finishing passing part one, you start doing project and reading for part two. You finish part two, then you have to get a job, and then you have to get promoted. You start writing papers. Then one day, that's just the way life is. There's no point. The moment you settle and say, no wahala, nothing spoiled again, that's it. Your kidney starts failing, your heart starts failing. Do you follow my point? That's just the way it is. So troubles in life, listen, they pass. Did I hear amen? They pass. They will pass. They must pass. And when they pass so totally, they are difficult to remember. So God had to command, thou shalt not forget, oh, thou shalt remember. So as to help you remember, you will have sacrifices this number of times of the year. And when you are making those sacrifices, your children will say, why are we doing this? Where are we going? Why are we dressed up like this? Why are we eating this food in a hurry? Why can't we settle down and eat it? Why don't we cook it well? He said, you don't understand. Years ago, we were slaves in Egypt. Then one night, God brought us out by a mighty hand. This was how we did it. So we have to keep remembering this. So he gave us these ordinances. Why? Because it's so easy to forget. So don't worry about troubles. Don't worry about challenges. All this focusing on troubles is a sign that there's no now me in your life. That's what I'm making. There's nothing you are trying to do. One of the things I've been explaining, talking about this faith. Faith is not just, I want to build my faith. Listen, faith, it has an object. And it's to express the will of God in your life. God has never created faith for a man to have shoes. What he said is that don't even pray about shoes. He said, take no thought for this. He said, if after all, animals, I don't do anything. I give it to them, grass of the field. That is, what do I exercise my faith in? How do I bring forth the life of God that's inside me? How do I bring forth the plan that God created in the heavens that I must execute on the earth? Listen, let me tell you something. I was studying some time ago. I saw where I marked in my Bible. Two people. There was a way God spoke. Listen, you will get ideas from God. This is how you get ideas from God. I'm just talking here and there. I hope I don't get confused along the way anyway. Are you following me, Sha? I'm beginning to wonder what I'm saying. This is how you get ideas from God. Two things came to my mind. I was reading my Bible, all right? One, when Moses was in the wilderness, I saw the burning bush. The Bible said that when God saw that he turned to look, then he began to speak. That is, if Moses had continued passing, looked at the bush, and continued going, God would not have spoken. But when Moses saw the bush, he came closer. Is it burning or is it not burning? Is it burning or is it not burning? Then he moved closer, and God saw he was interested. Are you getting my point? Then God now spoke to him. Stop there. Remove your shoes. Remove your sandals. Because then they began to talk. That's one. Again, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, and he said he forgot his dream, and Daniel reminded him of his dream and interpreted it, he said, when you were in your bed, listen, your mind turned to those things that will happen in future. What am I saying? It was his desire to know what was going to happen afterwards. Then God turned and began to speak to him. Why you don't have faith? Are you getting my point? Why you don't have any ideas? It's because you are not even contemplating what your life is supposed to contribute. You are so wrapped by, my friend has bought a car. Are you getting my point? You are so encased by, my friend has built a house. You are so taken up by those things, therefore, God has nothing to say about them. Your friend has built a house. Is it only your friend? 1 billion people have built a house. See, look at what he's concerned about. What am I saying? God will drop ideas. Listen, I was listening to Billy Akoni the other day, and he was talking about unction and utterance. It was a minister's program. Talking about unction and utterance. And as I was saying, I was alone. I drove to Nim with Daddy, so I was alone. I enjoyed it myself. I was alone. Enjoyed the thing all alone. And I was laughing to myself because I said, nobody even taught me this, but I knew it long ago. That this is how I minister. Before I step up to the pulpit, that's why you don't see me. I don't have long notes. Well, that day, Billy Akoni used words to describe it. He said, what he called an unction, all right, is that, you can give me any topic. I read your topic and I pray before I come to preach. If it's a 3-day program, most of the time I only know what I'll say on day one. On that first day, I now have 1 hour, 1.5 hours. In some places, they'll give me 2 hours. And I know that all I'm going to tell them is something. It's just a line. Then I get up there, I have 2 scriptures. Which I think I'm going to use. Sometimes I will have finished preaching before I even remember I wrote 2 scriptures down. Because I have one thing I want to tell the people. What am I saying? How do I get that one thing? I always get it. Because I know that, look, God, these people, they're expecting to be blessed. They did not know me before, but they have now come all the way to come and make sure I come and preach to them. I said, there is a word that you have for the people. I pray until that word drops in my heart. Are you getting my point? It doesn't fail. It always happens. Even when I'm coming to Kingdom World Ministry, where I come twice a week, I still pray until I know what I want to say for the day. Now, I may get there and say many other things, but there's one thing that brings me to the platform to speak. Now, I'm bringing an issue. The principle I'm bringing up from here is this. I know I have an assignment, so I ask God. Do you follow my point? That's why, you know, when I tell people that I don't prepare messages, do you understand? They wonder like, what gives you the bone and just get up? How are you sure you know what to say? It hasn't crossed my mind that I won't know what to say. I don't know what I get my point. And I told you before, go and read Romans chapter 12. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. And he now said, in proportion to your faith. Bring an issue here. It has never crossed my mind that I won't have what to say. What am I saying? The faith that gives me the boldness to stand up anywhere, anytime, is not because I wound myself up so much to have faith, but because I realize that God has a word which I must deliver. And once that word drops in my heart, I know I can never lack utterance. It's not possible. Do you know the funny thing? Until Billy Akoni was talking about it in that message, I didn't know I had to pray for God to give me the utterance. I have never prayed for utterance when I have the word. I have never prayed for the scriptures to use when I have a word. What am I saying? You know what gives you faith to face life? It's purpose. It's purpose. You know what Satan does? He distracts us by, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? So God does not give us any ideas. Now I was talking about Ruth and Naomi. Remember that? I said last week that you must have Naomis in your life. What I mean by Naomi, not people, not necessarily. Ruth, her Naomi was a person. She was concerned about her mother-in-law. Your Naomi could be a purpose. That is, this is a gift God has given me. There's something I keep on saying. There may be many people that preach like me. I don't know. I don't know any. There may be plenty. But one thing I know for certain is if I don't preach what I am preaching, where I am preaching it to, the people I'm preaching it to, nobody will preach it. Nobody. I left that confusion long ago thinking that God will find somebody else. You think that's how easy? Go and read. God said, people are hard to come by. That's what God said himself. See, there was a time I woke up in the morning. I gathered all the angels. So, yeah, start looking. And they came and said, we have found none. I sought for a man, and I did not find any. When Isaiah heard, who shall go for us? You think it's automatic that God will find somebody? There are times they are shouting. You think that Isaiah will just stumble into that shouting that day? God has been shouting that thing for years. I realized that one. So, listen. You know, Olayinka and I went to the radio station, and they told us about their network. That if you want our programs to be on all their stations, they have about 10 or 12 of them nationwide. At the same time, so how much will it cost? I was surprised at how cheap it was, actually. Not as if we have the money right now, but I was actually surprised that you mean for 70,000 naira, these guys will put us for 30 minutes on all their nations nationwide. That's 140K a week. We quickly did that calculation, 1.8 something million naira every quarter. And I said, this is small money. Now, not as if I have the money. Do you follow my point? But just having looked around, I said, this is small money. And no, not like 1.8 million twice a week for one quarter of 13 weeks. That's not a lot of money. That is not a lot of money. If I collect one of these politicians' cars, I pay for 2 years. Maybe one senator is passing Oga Park. The Lord has need of this one. And you know, like Jesus Christ, and the guy comes down. And I say, oh, you want to redeem me from the Lord? It's allowed. How much is the car? He said, God, it's only 9 million naira, sir. I said, God said you shall add 20% of the value if you want to redeem me. It's in the Bible. It's okay. Give me 10.8. You know how many? 2 years is covered because of one politician's car. Do you follow my point? I said, this is not money. But something happened. When I left, you know, I told Yenka, I said, I have to go and start praying. Now, this is what I'm talking. Praying about what? Let me tell you the truth. If you know me, you know, when I say that I don't harass people for money, you heard me say before, and you know I've ever harassed you for money. It's not just about not harassing people for money. That's one. There's a second side of not putting yourself under unnecessary pressure. Do you follow my point? Because you can say, you won't harass anybody for money. All right, you go and sign a deal, then it's 1.8 million naira for the first quarter. I told you something earlier. I won't sign such deals until I am certain we can pay. Do you get my point? Yes, I mean, until I'm certain that 140,000 naira can come out every week to give to them. If we had it, I would have signed the deal on the spot. There and there, I tell the guy, yeah, fix me time. All your stations nationwide. For the amount of impact, that money is not much. We make more impact in people's lives than Gouda. You don't know that? We do. Gouda has not transformed anybody's life for the better. Any man who Gouda does not ruin his life was already settled before he drank Gouda. If your life is not settled, you drink Gouda, it goes downwards. Yes. But when we preach, we take lives that were not settled and they become settled. And the ones that were settled, they become even more settled and bear more fruit. So I know to God, 140K a week, if Gouda can spend what they are spending, we can, I mean, to him is more valuable. Do you get my point? But this is the point. I am not going to sign any arrangement until I have come out of the garden. You know what I said at the beginning? And I am certain that without any unnecessary striving or pressure, just be giving them every month 140 times 4 or 140 times 5 as it comes, you know, as the month is. We just pay them without any hassle. This one I'm making. Because I understand purpose, I told Yinka that day, I said, I have to go and start praying in my garden until my heart... Because suddenly I realized this is much easier than I actually thought it was. It has not crossed my mind to pray to God, okay, you know, as you are my witness, that God will give me 20 million naira to buy a house. You know, it hasn't crossed my mind to pray that God will give me the faith to. I just said, look, in his time, it has his time. And listen, as a matter of fact, these are biblical principles. If I continue to use my faith concerning this issue of purpose, broadcasting his word, he will go ahead, arrange the events until the house just drops, bam, in my hand one day. In fact, Jesus said, Banky, don't even pray about it. I'm serious about it. Say, don't think about it. As we're driving down today, I told my wife, I said, the prayer I pray all the time is that God should please help me so that I don't even think about those things. Because God will never fail. Believe me, he will never fail. Faith rises as I focus my attention on the now me of my life. Do you follow my point? Faith rises automatically. I wouldn't have to wake up, hey, in the name of Jesus, I have faith, in the name of Jesus, my faith, I'm speaking to you, you are growing, you are bigger now than you were last year. My faith, grow more. That's emptiness. Are you getting my point? It's like learning to drive when you don't have a car or want to borrow. You know, have you done that before? Some people have done it. Me too, I must know how to drive. You don't have one to borrow. You now go and pay in a driving school. When you finish, you forget all the lessons. So. You forget sharp. But if there's a car available without driving lessons, in 1 week, you're going to try. In 1 month, you're a guru. Do you follow my point? Yeah, because it has to do with purpose. It has to do with purpose. That's how faith is. So, now Ruth, we said, her faith grew automatically once she had something to drive. You understand what I'm saying? Once she had the welfare of her mother-in-law in her heart, God arranged. She didn't pray about who will take care of me. God arranged that. She never asked God, I want my descendant to be the champion in Israel. But God arranged that. She did not know that one day God will compile a book called the Bible. But by the time the Lord finished compiling, he said, no, there's a whole chapter. There's a whole book. Put her name on it. Do you get the point? These were things she never prayed about. Let me say it to you again. Today I feel so strong about that matter of purpose again. I said, Moses heard the voice of God when he turned to look. And even Nebuchadnezzar saw the visions of God when he turned to look. If you turn and look and say and start asking, God, what on earth am I doing here? Instead of asking, why on earth am I suffering? Do you understand my point? instead of saying, hey, after all, my friends in America, they are earning 17 times what I'm earning in Nigeria. Why don't you pray, say, Lord, now that I'm here, what am I supposed to be doing?
Do you get the point I'm making?
And then faith rises automatically. You know what? If you ever, maybe as me, you're a businessman, or maybe you're not into business, but you heard business people talk, and they are mentioning sums, you know, sums. So, okay, that should be like 2.5, and in your mind, that should be 2,500 naira, you understand? But when they pronounce it fully, they mean 2.5 billion. So, you go look the man where they talk him. And it's okay, all right, where do we sign? All right, you guys will transfer this amount of money. We'll be able to deliver over, and they are just talking nicely. So, did you say 2.5 billion or is it pesos or is it CDs or no, what's the lira? Hey, lira or Zimbabwean dollar? No, they say it's naira. Ah. Or the man even worse and say that should be about $250 million. Ah. You are wondering, Babake, senior guy. And you're wondering how he got to that level. You know the truth? He doesn't even know he has reached that level. You are the one calculating money. He's not thinking about money. He's thinking of a project. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's thinking of a project. He's thinking of something we have to deliver. He's thinking of an impact we have to make. This is what I'm saying. I may sound like a prophet, but this is what I'm saying. Let me just tell you this story before I say what I want to say. You heard me mention this man. He was the richest man in the world one time, Paul Getty. You know, the day Paul Getty realized how rich he was, you know what happened? He stopped and bought it, or either he bought or they delivered a magazine to him, and he saw that he was on the cover as the richest man in the world. So that was the day he realized he was that rich. He said, when he would say to people that he doesn't know how much money he has, that they used to think he was just being, either unnecessarily humble or being cocky or something. That's a matter of fact, he has never checked how much money he had. That he was just doing business. And as he did business, business grew. And he did more business. And he did more business. And more business came. And he kept on doing business. And now let me get back to what I was going to tell you. That this is what's going to happen to you. One day, you will be about to sign one paper. And you will start laughing. And somebody will say, why are you laughing? Are you okay? He said, I just remember the day Pastor Banky was preaching. Some people have got what I'm saying. You just laugh. And they say, sign here. And you say, this is 25 billion. It doesn't even look like money. You remember today and you start laughing. Listen, don't bother trying to wind your faith to get to that level. Make sure I can receive it. Don't worry. Just wake up. What's my purpose in life? Face it. You know what I'm saying? That somebody said that 1.8 million naira. For 13 weeks on all their stations nationwide. That one I know for sure. That in a short while. I just say, okay, should we pay you people 1 year ahead? That's how we'll be discussing it. You want a year ahead or how do you want it? That one I'm certain. That's how faith rises. That's how faith rises. The faith that never rises, the one that's... My mates are building houses, I shall build too. That kind of faith is born short, it will never grow. All it can do is shrink. Don't forget what I said. A man focuses, we turn our thoughts to the right things, then God begins to give us the right ideas. Are you getting my point? Alright. Now there's another scripture I want us to read, okay? Which is one that's still tying it. You know, don't forget this thing I was saying about love and Christianity. And it's something I've explained again and again, but let me just put it into this, our teaching for today, and then we can leave it there. After that, I may not worry you about it anymore. All right? 1 Kings chapter 17, of course, I'm sure you remember this story very much. I just want to explain something, summarize it. This is the story of the widow of Zarephath. Because of time, I won't read all the whole extent of it. But remember that Elijah spoke against the land, and that's in verse 1 of that chapter 17, And he said that there shall neither be dew nor rain for these years except by my word. And after that, God told him to go to the brook Cherith, and then he stayed there until that place dried up.